Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another station on our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the ayat from the 23rd juz of the Quran. And the ayat include beautiful ayat from Surah Yasin, Surah As-Saffat, Surah Sad, and Surah Az-Zumar. Yasin. These are two individual letters of the Arabic language, the Ya and the Sin. And they start the surah, and as most of the surah that start with these individual letters, we find the mention of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the revelation to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Sin wal Qur'an al-Hakim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Sin wal Qur'an al-Hakim. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ You, Muhammad, the recipient of this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have been sent to the creation, to all of the creation, to bring them, at least the accountable species, al-insu wal-jinn, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ You are following that path prescribed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this book is Tanzeel, is a revelation from Al-Aziz Al-Rahim subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may extract these people from the darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in Surah Yasin the story of a certain village, and to that village two messengers were sent, and the people of that village denied these two messengers. They did not believe in them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported these two messengers with a third one, a third messenger. So three messengers sent to the same village, and still the people called them liars. In antum illa takdibun. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish us, He would have punished us before. So they started rebelling against these messengers, and they threatened, if you do not stop preaching this way of life, we are gonna expel you, or we're gonna kill you. And then there was a wise man, Habib al-Najjar. He was a carpenter, and it seems, subhanallah, the examples of carpenters in the Quran are positive examples. We had Luqman a few days ago, and today we have Habib al-Najjar in that village in Asham, probably Antioch. And he came from the far end of the city. Now, if you remember when we were talking about Surah Al-Qasas, and we mentioned the person who came to warn Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam about the plan of Fir'aun to arrest Sayyidina Musa and maybe to kill him, he came from the far end of the city to warn Sayyidina Musa. So here also we find this true, beautiful believer coming from the far end of the city to warn his people of the village. He used to live in this village. He cared about the people in this village. So, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى What was his message to his people? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ O my people, follow these messengers. These are people who are not asking you anything. They are not asking for any compensation or any price for this guidance. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ These are guided people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not seeking any payment, so follow them. And then he told them, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ How could I not worship the one who created me, and that we are all returning back to him? أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً إِن يُرِدْنِي الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Should I take idols or deities apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who created me, and their intercession, if they try to intercede with the Creator, their intercession is not going to do me any good, and they're not going to save me from any wrath or punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do so, I am really miserable, I'm in complete loss. So what did his people do to him? He came to advise them very gently, very mildly, very kindly, and he addressed them by Ya Qawm, O my people. What did they do to him? They killed him in a very nasty way, as it came in the narration by hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They kept punching him in the chest until his rib cage broke. It collapsed. They killed him. And when they killed him, he was so sincere in his care and his love for his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us about the details in the Quran, how he was murdered, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when his soul ascended to the heavens and was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a martyr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him his place in paradise, he said, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. I wish he still calls them my people, even though they have killed him, he still cares for them. And that's the nature of any messenger, by the way, any reformer. They would care about their people, even if the people do not reflect or respond to that care or reciprocate that care. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the example of a prophet who was stoned by his people and almost killed by his people, and he was injured with blood flowing on his forehead. He would wipe the blood of his forehead and say, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun, or Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, forgive my people, or O Allah, guide my people, because they don't know. If they knew what I know of what you have prepared for your pious servants, they would rush to repent and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his beautiful soul among his pious servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let this aggression go unpunished. So this village was punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their aggression against the reformers. First against the three prophets, and then against the reformer who came from the far side of the city to advise them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about Surah Yasin. It has some secrets. It's a beautiful surah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us if we are in the presence of someone in the last moments of his or her life, that we should recite Surah Yasin beside the bed of that person. That would ease the transition of their soul, and hopefully with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that soul would depart easily to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اقرأوا ياسين على موتاكم. Some people misunderstand that and they start reciting it after the person has passed away, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the process of the last moments of the life of that individual, that again, the recitation of this surah in these hard times would ease that transition and would give calm and serenity in the whole scene surrounding that person who is about to die. Surah As-Saffat. As-Saffat are the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are standing in rows and who are setting themselves in straight rows. We know that when we go to the congregation prayer in the masjid, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us go back to our masajid safely bi-idhnillah, that we stand in rows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that example not only in salah, but also even for an army that's about to fight an enemy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. This solidarity, this strength, and this bond connecting the believers next to each other, whether they are in the prayer or any form of worship, or whether they are fighting an enemy, this gives support and strength to this army. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the start of any congregation prayer, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look back to make sure that the lines are straight. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell his companions, استقيموا يرحمكم الله لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would set them straight in the rows, making sure no one is a half step ahead or half step behind, but the row is completely aligned. This is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. In Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the examples of the believers and the non-believers who do not believe in life after death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the believers remember those who were telling them there's no life after death, it's just this life and it's going to conclude and there's nothing after it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them remember and remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from following this wrong ideology and recognizing that there's life after death. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah, who was one of the khulafa of the Umayyad dynasty at Dawla al-Amawiyya, and he is recognized as Khamis al-Khulafa al-Rashidin. We know that the guided khulafa are four: Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yet Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in many books, he's described as al-Khalifa al-Khamis or Khamis al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, because during his time he restored the glory of the Muslim Ummah, bringing it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way of the four Khulafa al-Rashidin. After there have been some extravagance and some transgressions during the time of his predecessors, but he restored it back to the way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu, among the stories that are told about him is that he was once walking in the masjid at night, probably before Fajr. And while he was walking, there was no light. So he stepped on someone who was laying in the masjid waiting for Salah. And the person was startled and he woke up angry, not knowing who just stepped on him. That was the Khalifa who stepped on him. He asked him, "Watch out, are you blind? Can't you see?" Now imagine if that were to happen today to a king or to a prince or to a president or whatever, what would the response be? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, all he said, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, all he said, "I apologize, I am not blind, but I couldn't see you." Of course, when after Salah or when some light was brought and the man saw who he was talking to, he tried to apologize, but Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz told him, "You don't need to apologize. I made a mistake and I apologize for it." Why am I talking about Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah wa radiallahu anhu? Because he once prayed all night with one ayah. And it is from Surah As-Saffat. And that ayah is, "Waqifuhum innahum mas'ulun." He recited this ayah and then he could not go any further because he imagined, he visualized this ayah. Waqifuhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the angels that are set in rows and that set the believers in rows, "Waqifuhum innahum mas'ulun." Let them stand because they're going to be questioned. They're going to be questioned about what they have done in their life. So he immediately saw himself being set in a row by the angels, and he immediately saw himself standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking him about what he has done. So he could not proceed any further. He kept repeating the ayah over and over and over again until he started crying profusely, and then basically, that was the whole night prayer. He prayed it by repeating this ayah, reciting it over and over again, and imagining what would be my response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he asks me about what I have done. So, moving forward, inshallah, to Surah Sad. Again, an individual letter of the Arabic language. Again, mostly followed by a mention of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sad wal Quran al Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this glorious Quran that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wondering about those people who are wondering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger. بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال وقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ. These non-believers who deny the resurrection and life after death, they wonder how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a human to be a messenger. So they denied that messenger and they denied that there's going to be life after death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to them that indeed there will be life after death and you will be punished for your denial of that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this surah about part of the story of Sayyidina Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, the story of Sayyidina Dawood here comes in a different chapter. We have seen in Surah Al-Baqarah by the end of the surah how Sayyidina Dawood emerged as a young shepherd when he challenged Jalut or Goliath and he killed him, and later on he ascended to become the king. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us at a time when Sayyidina Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet and a king, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Fahkum bayna an-nas bil haqqi wa la tattabi' al hawa fayudillaka 'an sabilillah. Innal ladhina yadhilluna 'an sabilillah lahum 'adhabun shadidun bima nasu yawm al hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding Sayyidina Dawood that we gave you the prophethood and we gave you the kingdom so that you would rule with justice among people. Now, the story is that two individuals came to Sayyidina Dawood ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was praying in his sanctuary, and these people climbed the walls or the fence to that sanctuary, and they called for Sayyidina Dawood to judge between them. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَسَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابِ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْطِطْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. So the story is that these two individuals came seeking the judgment of Sayyidina Dawood as a prophet and as a king, as a wise king. What was their complaint? He was startled when he saw them in his sanctuary because he was praying alone, and they came with their complaint. One of them said, my brother, I have a brother who has 99 goats and I have only one. So instead of being satisfied with what he has and leaving me with my goat, he told me, just give me yours so that I would have 100. And what would that leave me with? And Sayyidina Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam recognized that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a test of his justice, a test of his judgment. So وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ. Now in the books of Israeliyat, some of the books of Tafsir even, they have different stories that, again, there's no proof from the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on these stories, but they find them in Israeliyat. So we're not going to delve into that, but basically the moral of the story is that Sayyidina Dawood recognized that this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's something that he should be aware of. So he immediately recognized and understood that message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. We accepted his repentance, we accepted his prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed by an ayah that has a sajda in the Quran, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make sujood, and he had a very beautiful dua. Allahumma aktub li biha ajra, wa ahtut biha anni wizra, wa ja'alha li indaka dukhra, wa taqabbalha minni kama taqabbaltaha min abdika Dawood. O Allah, grant me with the sajda a reward and remit from me a sin, and save this prostration for me so that on the day of judgment it would be in my account, and accept it from me as you have accepted it from your servant Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it was accepted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. And then comes another chapter of the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, the heir and the successor of Sayyidina Dawood and his son, great prophet, great messenger, great king, and fair and wise judge as well. And Sayyidina Sulaiman, again, according to the ayah, he had horses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with beautiful horses, and he kept caring for these horses until it was almost the sunset and he almost missed the time for the prayer. He prayed and then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, "Oh Allah, I was distracted by the love for these horses until the sun was about to set." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Now again, in the books of Israiliyat, there's a narration that is not justified and is not explained by the ayah in the Quran. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. مَسْحًا, Sayyidina Sulaiman, after he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rubbed on the necks and the legs of these horses, as it's not their mistake, it is his mistake almost, that he was distracted by the beauty of these animals. So they should not be held accountable. He should be the one who, again, should have taken care of performing the prayer at the beginning of its time. Now, the books of Israiliyat said that he started cutting the necks and the legs of these animals. And again, there's no justification or there's no proper translation of tafiqa mashan, that means that he cut the heads and the legs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in our wudu, فَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, in the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, to wipe our head with water when we are making wudu, not to wash it, but to wipe it with water. And if masḥ in this case means cutting our heads, how many times can we cut our heads in a lifetime? Each time we make wudu, we're gonna cut our heads. That of course does not make any sense. So Surat Sad has these beautiful ayat about these two great prophets. And by the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another chapter of the challenge and the confrontation between truth and falsehood in the story of Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from dust. And then he gave him the spirit to live as a human being, and how Shaitan disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was banished from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend his life so that he can deceive as many of the sons of Adam as he can, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him this wish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan, stay the course, follow the footsteps of your father Adam, who repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apologized for the sin that he has committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Az-Zumar, another very beautiful surah. And again, I'm going to stop probably at two or three of the beautiful ayat of Surah Az-Zumar. Among these ayat is a very beautiful ayah that carries great hope for all the believers. Again, we are not angels. We are not without sin. Every one of us commits sins day and night. We are serial sinners. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given a description of that by saying, "Kullu ibn Adam khata'." All the sons of Adam are serial sinners, not khati', but khata', which means they keep repeating sins time after another, maybe the same sin or maybe other sins, but they keep perpetuating these sins. But we should not surrender. We should not just throw the mantle and say, "Well, we are sinners. What can we do? We are not angels." The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the cure, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that the best of these serial sinners are the serial repenters, the ones who at each time they commit a sin, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned before that Allah subhanahu with his mercy, when a person commits a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, do not write it yet. Give him a chance to reconsider. Give him a chance to wake up. Give him a chance to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person repents, that sin is not even written. If that person does not repent immediately, that sin is recorded a few hours later. However, if that person remembers later and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sin is wiped out after it had been written. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a very beautiful ayah as a great hope for those serial sinners. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, tell them, O my servants, who have transgressed against themselves, who have committed injustice against themselves by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. If you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, He would forgive all sins. How can we reconcile this ayah, forgiving all sins, with the other ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Again, the reconciliation is very easy, because again, who is addressed with إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord, they make sins, they commit sins in moments of distraction, in moments of whatever, and then they wake up to their senses and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord. Therefore, there's no contradiction whatsoever between the two ayat, because the first ayah is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive association with Him. Those who associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, they're not truly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. Selected not to forgive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling in the first ayah also, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Apart from that, anything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, He can forgive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great hope to every believer. Never lose hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the non-believers are the ones who lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the followers of shaitan to the end of the path, showing disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the ones who are completely desperate from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Apart from that, the door is always open. So it's an invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of His servants to come back. Whatever your sins might have been, there's always a chance to come back. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that criminal from Bani Israel who had killed 98 souls. He killed 98 people. That's a serial killer by definition, killing 98 people. And then he went to a worshipper, a person who was known for his worship, and he asked him, is there any way for me to repent? Is there any way for me, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to forgive my sins? That worshipper, who was a great worshipper but had very limited knowledge, told him, no, you're done with. You killed 98 people. How can you think about forgiveness and repentance? So now this person, having nothing to lose, he killed that worshipper and now he has killed 99 people. So now he went to a knowledgeable person, a scholar, and he asked him, listen, and he was probably brandishing his sword, I have already killed 99 people. Is there any way for me to repent? And the scholar told him, of course. Who closes that door? There's no way. Do you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, I do. He said, who can close that gate of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgiveness and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? However, there's one condition. Where did you kill these 99 people? You killed them in this village. As a sign of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to leave this village to start a new life. A life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life of repentance, you have to start in a new place. Because if you stay here, each different corner of the city is going to remind you of your crimes, and maybe you're going to go back to the life of crime. So you have to start a new life in a new place. And that murderer truly wanted to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he followed the advice of the wise scholar, and he started leaving that village to a new village where he can start a new life. Almost halfway between the two villages, time of his death came, and he died. Now the angels wanted to take his soul. Where to take his soul to? To the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The angels that descended with punishment, they said, well, this is the man who killed 99 people. He never did a good thing in his life. So he definitely deserves the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the angels of mercy said, wait a minute. He repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was on his way to start a new life. How can you hold him accountable for that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed him to move to a new place to start a new life? So now he's almost halfway in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them, measure the distance from the origin to the place of his death, and from his place of his death to his destination. Which one is closer? If he is closer to the origin, that place of disobedience, then the angels of punishment should take him. If he's closer to the new destination, the new life, the life of repentance and obedience, then the angels of mercy should take him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the earth, move a little bit. So as when they measured, they found him closer to the destination by an arm length. And that's based on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the earth to move, to allow for that extra arm length closer to the land of repentance. So the angels of mercy took the soul of that man. That's a great example of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have talked about before. So it's a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a scene from the Day of Judgment where the two camps, the camp of the non-believers and the camp of believers, are brought in droves, in groups, not as individuals after facing the individual questioning, but now it's time to send the groups to their final destination. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Zumar, which means groups or droves. So they were pushed by the angels to the hellfire. And when they approached the hellfire, the gates open up and the guardians of the hellfire are asking them, didn't you receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Didn't prophets and messengers come to you to warn you about this day? And they said, indeed they did. And the angels would say, now taste the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the other camp. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Those who were mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are driven to paradise in droves, are guided to paradise with escorts who would show them the way to paradise. And when they approach the paradise and they find already their gates are open, the gates of paradise are open, there's a very subtle difference, beautiful difference here. When the non-believers approach paradise, the gates suddenly open. So they are surprised by the horror scenes inside of paradise. And that's an added punishment. But for the believers, when they approach paradise, even before getting there, they find that the gates have already been opened in preparation as a welcome sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see from a distance the beauty of paradise. They smell from a distance the fragrance of paradise. And when they see that beauty, they remember the first thing that they should do is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ. Grace and praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fulfilled His promise to us. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. He subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this vast and beautiful paradise where we can move wherever we want according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the angels are surrounding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. They're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the matter is decided and divided. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates these two camps. Those, the dwellers of the hellfire, go to their final abode, and the residents of paradise go to their final residence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges among them, and the angels that are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dwellers of paradise in unison, they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, who guided us to this beautiful faith, to this beautiful way of life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind us always to seek His forgiveness for our continuous sins, and to never lose any hope or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the residents of paradise and receive that beautiful welcome from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from His angels. Inshallah, tomorrow next time we're going to resume our journey with the Quran, and we're going to start with a very beautiful surah, Surah Ghafir, that is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ghafiru al-Dhanbi wa Qabilu al-Tawb. So until next time, inshallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.